Hey, y'all, I got a question for you. What's a piece of gear that you maybe have unintentionally overlooked in your rig throughout the years? Well, for me, it's always been guitar cables. I figured, it just goes from the guitar to the amplifier or the guitar to the pedal board to the amp, and if one breaks, whatever, I'll just go buy another one. No big deal. Thanks to the fine folks at Runway Audio, though, I have finally seen the light. Runway Audio is based in Nashville, Tennessee, which is awesome for me because that's right down the road. But it's awesome for you as well because Runway has the best cable on the market. And what makes it the best, you ask? Well, it has the lowest capacitance of any cable on the market right now, at 20 picofarads per foot. And pretty much all that capacitance is the ability to store an electrical charge. The lower the capacitance is, the less tone that it sucks from your cable from your guitar on the way to your amplifier. So if you're in the market for anything cable-related, whether it's instrument cables, patch cables, XLR cables, speaker cables, power cables, you name it, Runway Audio has got you covered. And if you go down to my link tree, click the link for Runway Audio, any purchasing you will do, I will get a little bit of a kickback from that, which is always appreciated. So check out all the awesome stuff that Runway Audio is doing and pick something up to get the best tone possible. This episode today is brought to you by Stringjoy Guitar Strings, the finest strings on the market. For me, it has been the Orbiters that have been my absolute go-to ever since they have come out, and that's their coated electric strings. But if the coated thing's not your thing, totally get it. The Signatures and the Broadways in their electric line, top-notch quality. For acoustic guitars, they have their Naturals and their Brights, along with the Foxwoods, which are their coated Fosper Bronze. For all you bassists out there, too, they have the Signatures and the Rangers. Full disclosure, the link down below is my affiliate link, so if you would like to check out Stringjoy, click that link down below. Not only will you be getting the finest guitar strings on the market, but you'll also be helping out this podcast, which I greatly appreciate. So, head on over to Stringjoy today. I'm not even close to the tip of the iceberg of all the awesome things that Stringjoy does, so click the link down below and check them out for yourself. Welcome back to Man the Helm Podcast. Today I am joined by Justice Hages. How's it going, dude?
I'm going very, very well. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, dude. I've been, It's probably like everybody else, and we'll probably get into all this as well. The like 2020 TikTok sort of thing is kind of when I jumped on TikTok too. And most other people that I've talked to that are kind of in your same realm are in that same boat. But before we get to the TikTok sort of thing, let's kind of start maybe at the genesis of where you started musically. You know, I don't care if you want to go all the way back to childhood or all the way, you know, wherever you want to start from, man, but just kind of how did you get into where you are today? And we can just kind of work our way up.
Absolutely. I grew up in a musical household, right? Mm-hmm. Father was an engineer, songwriter. All the men on my dad's side going back many generations, like my great grandfather was a saxophonist. My grandfather was an Elvis impersonator and Frank Sinatra impersonator. And so there's been a lot of musical, nothing on my mother's side, but I always kind of grew up in that environment, and I never gravitated towards it. I was like, I just want to play video games and get away. Yeah. Always just whatever I could escape in. But one day I think I was around like 12 or 13. And I was just like, I just want a guitar. I was just out of nowhere. I was like, hey, I think it'd be kind of cool if I got a guitar. And, you know, when you're 13 and you're just like, I don't know, you're insecure. You're like, maybe a guitar will help me seem more appealing to ladies or something, you know? So,
I totally get that, man. Absolutely.
As a young kid, not knowing how to talk to anyone, that was like maybe. But the irony is I got it, and I couldn't put it down. Like every day, I just found myself playing more and more. It was a complete love at first sight. No one ever had to tell me to play guitar. You know, it was always I never did my homework. I never did so many things. I was always just playing guitar because it just made sense. And around the same time, like I said, I was playing video games. I was very obsessed with like the Call of Duties.
Okay, yeah.
Especially like the Black Ops series, where a lot of the music of Avenged Sevenfold was actually in, and that was my genuine gateway into like metal and shred. And given the time when I just started guitar at 13, I was very much into like the blues. Like I was
Sure,
very much
yeah.
into Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, a lot of those, you know, up and coming, you know, when you first grab a guitar, you're just like, oh, who's the greatest guitarist? Most people would say Jimi Hendrix, no
Yeah.
matter, even if they don't know how to play guitar, they'll say Jimi Hendrix. So I had an acoustic Seagull. That was my first
Oh, cool.
guitar. And then I saw Jimi Hendrix do his thing, and I was like, I need an electric. I was just like, that's too cool. So by the time I got one, I was getting really into Avenged Sevenfold, especially the song Shepherd of Fire
Oh,
from
yeah.
Black Ops 2. I just, that riff was memorizing, and I was like, there's no way I could ever play something as cool and complex as that, especially like Sinister Gates' solos were so melodic and technically shreddable.
Right.
I was like, there's no way I could ever do that. But you know, slowly I just kept trying and trying, and I started playing a lot more in like, you know, cover bands, playing Avenged Sevenfold music and anything I could get my hands on. And then slowly my thirst for technical music grew even more. And then, you know, I got into the Petrucci realm. Steve Vai, especially Jason Richardson, is one of my bigger influences, especially later on. And then of course Polyphia. And then yeah, that I guess that as far as like the influences and almost like journey wise. But yeah, I released my first song when I was like 16, and the first couple songs were just my ode to Jason Richardson, essentially.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting when you kind of what's that? I can't remember what the phrase is, but usually like the music that you find in your mid-teens to like your 20s is what you always are going to gravitate towards regardless. You know what I mean?
Yep,
I can't remember what
absolutely.
that case study was or whatever you want to call it, but you know, that's whatever hooks you with that musical itch, that's what you're going to be into for the majority of your life. You might have like ebbs and flows ever so slightly in different directions, but the core is still always going to be there with those major influences at the beginning.
Absolutely. It's like a subconscious thing. It's like
Yeah.
it's the taste is deep down, because I feel like I'm definitely of the opinion that if you're, especially if you're a musician, it's your responsibility to be open-minded to other genres. And
Oh, absolutely.
I love genre blending. I love so many different genres of music. And I remember all throughout my high school years, I was always just like, I'm gonna listen to like one new album a day. I was like, I'm just gonna find something I don't know, could be from any genre. And that really exposed me to a lot of great music that I didn't really understand, but I was just wanting to expose my ears to be open-minded, and that's the biggest thing, right? And it's like,
Yeah.
and you're totally right. I'm like, at the end of the day, there's just an angsty teenager wanting to like play riffs and like crazy solos, you know?
Oh,
That's
absolutely.
deep down.
Dude, I totally get it, man. My thing was oh, what was that band? The Darkness. I believe in a thing called love, man. That was the first like that was like my MTV moment. I saw them on
Right.
stage with their Les Pauls and stuff like that, and I was just like, "Oh, man. You know, nobody's doing this in like the early 2000s. I need to do this, man." So that was kind of like my into the music. But so with all those influences kind of shaping the way you said you played in some cover bands, released some music, you know, early on in your teenage years. When did you kind of start to, I mean, it's always kind of there, but when did you kind of start to see like, this is really what I'm going to be doing? You know what I mean?
I gotta be honest, like after I'd say probably a year of me playing guitar,
Yeah.
I just I've always been a big thinker, being like, oh, what do I want to do with my life, you know? Especially because all my, you know, certain parents were musicians and whatever, and I wanted to, like, I don't know, be a lawyer or something to impress like my like grandma or something. But I actually, you
Sure.
know, I'll definitely say my first year of high school, grade 9, 14, 15, I was like, I tried some of the more academic courses, and everything just felt against the grain. to me when I knew how easy, not like not saying, oh, guitar is so easy for me to play. It was so easy for me to enjoy myself, for me to express myself in like any sort of music classes. I loved music classes. And for me, it was just like, I was like, well, I got like 60s in like English and sciences and mathematics. But for guitar, it was like, I think I got like they gave out these awards for like highest grades. I got it like three times in music. It's this for me, and I tell a lot of my guitar students this, is that it's the music is this beautiful combination of math, of history, different languages. There's so many different nuances of different things that for me just make sense. Like the language of music, I really enjoy in that sense, but sometimes individually on it's like not my favoriteest
No, I get that. Well, and it seems like most creatives are in that same boat, you know what I mean? Going through, any sort of stringent academic courses, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, I'm just gonna skate by
Yep.
just enough to get by. But yeah, man,
Pretty
I
much.
it's the same with me, man. It's just, growing up and anything creative wise, anything where I had a way to express myself in a way that was fun, not just sitting in a classroom like reading a book. Like, don't get me wrong, like I love the history aspect of a lot of things and whatnot, but it just wasn't appealing, But what was appealing was sitting alone in my room for hours just trying to learn different songs, you know what I mean? So I definitely
Yep.
understand where you're coming from with that stuff, dude.
Absolutely. It's that dedication factor. If you really put that amount of time and energy and passion into anything, you could be good at whatever you want to do in life,
Oh, for
like,
sure. Well, and
yeah.
the thing is, it's like the passion side of it. I always love the passion side of it. You can be passionate about something, but let's get into maybe fast forward a little bit of how we actually put a passion into practice. You know what I mean? Because you can be passionate all you want, but if we're not actively doing things to pursue that passion, i.e. getting that discipline down,
Yep.
one of my favorite phrases is discipline equals freedom. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the more disciplined you are with whatever it is, and that's not meaning you got to be like super strict on yourself or whatever. It's just if you're passionate about something, that passion is going to turn into that dedication, which is going to turn into that discipline, which is going to, and that's just going to start to cascade. So
Yep.
when did you kind of start with the social media aspect of things?
I've always been interested in it, and I grew up at the same era of I was like getting into guitar. I was watching the Jared Dines and the Stevie T's of like the YouTube era. But I started posting like on Instagram or whatever when I was like 14, but nothing ever like really stuck. But honestly, it was around the same time, like as you were saying, in that COVID era, is like 2019 is when I was just like I was like, you know what? I've taken this. I figured out a nice dedication, passion to guitar. I understand, and that's another one beautiful things about music, right? Is if you base it off of how you approach anything in life, like the discipline, you can apply it to other things. So as much as music and practicing the guitar was a discipline, it was also like the social media was the same thing. It was just like it was another thing that was easy to me because it was music related. It was a it was a another vein, because at the end of the day, all the posts aren't like me shredding, because sometimes that would get 0 views, but because that's just lovely algorithms, but I'm not complaining. Around 2019, 2020 is when I started really like actually like posting on TikTok, when I was like the world is shut down, I'm playing guitar in my room, I'm really just gonna start posting. And I think it took like for 2 to 3 years I was posting 3 videos a day on TikTok.
Well, I will say it's that's I think the hardest thing what people don't understand is how much I don't want to call it, well, okay, we'll call it what it is. A lot of work that has to go into that, especially that initial couple of years of you posting, it has to be so consistent. The only saving grace in those times is you can throw a lot of rice at the wall and see what sticks. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But once you already have that established fan base, it's kind of like I don't want to say you get stuck into a corner, but you kind of, it's harder to deviate outside of what your established fan base is, so to speak, if that makes any sense.
You nailed it. I don't want to say stole, but Probably like 2020. I was a big fan of like Riff Beards and Gear.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Fluff. Yeah, he did this raiding and roasting series. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. They'd be like 10, 20-minute videos. And I was just like, no one is doing this in short form content. And I was just like, I'm just gonna start doing it on TikTok. And I've been doing it for probably 4 years now. And
Right.
I gotta be honest, sometimes it drives me insane, especially with how rude some people can be when asking me to do their guitars. But man, I do have a blast doing it, but it's become such a staple in my like content routine that I'll be like posting. It's like, hey guys, check out this new song. I'm like ripping, and they'll be like, yo, when's the next raiding and roasting coming out? And I'm just like, I actually saw Fluff at the past NAMM, and I told
Okay.
him, I was like, hey man, I totally got inspired for you to do that, and like, you know, that's been a big help for me. So I just want to say thank you, and I got him to do a little cameo for one of the smaller ones that I did.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that a lot of people that don't that aren't in they're more consumers of media than, content creators, is they have this idea that I'm going to DM this individual and they're going to get right back to me and they're going to do everything that I want them to do because I'm a big fan of theirs. It's like, it's not to say that people don't want to, help you out or show off whatever you DM them or emailed them or whatever it is. It's just, I can't imagine the flood of emails that you get just for.
I don't have the time. I don't have the
Exactly.
time, man. I have some people who literally, I think it was a couple of weeks ago that I was like, I try and make it as random as possible. I do about 50% random, for who, because it's all time stamped of who did what. So I do 50% random and the other 50% who's been waiting longest.
Okay, yeah.
And that keeps it nice and fresh and allows, you know, still people who submit to get a chance. But what I do, and it's like I realized, I'm like, oh my God, this person has been waiting 54 weeks,
Right.
and they didn't never double message me. They didn't spam my comments. They didn't reach out to me, to my emails. Because at the end of every single video, I tell them how to participate. And
Right.
sometimes, you know, it goes right over that. But you know, like there's always, you know, the positives and negatives of the social media. But I would feature every single. I will feature every single one that I get when I get a chance to. It's just there's not enough hours in the day, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like when you have like a small fan base, it's super easy to go through your comments, communicate very consistently with all of your audience. But as that fan base starts to grow, it's like you just said, man, there is not enough time in the day. That would literally be all you would do, and therefore you're not putting out any more content. You're not being creative. You're not writing anymore. You're just replying back, which at a baseline level, at the very, short-term thinking. Sure, I'm sure that person will feel real great that you got back to them immediately, but it's going to hinder you in the long term to where they won't be able to enjoy your content anymore. You won't have any more of that. So it's this weird balancing act that I see a lot of people when they start to really gain some traction, because they most people I know that do go from that small level to that medium level, they're still replying to all the comments. They're still, interacting very consistently with everybody. But you get to that certain point where it's just like you open up whatever social media application you're using and, you see a triple digit number or a four digit number. And it's just like, oh, there's no way,
Like I, yeah, it's just like if I start, I've already missed
Right.
some. So it's yeah, it's definitely and exactly what you said. It's a balancing act, right? It's like how do I still contribute to those conversations and whatnot? And I always try and reserve that energy for people who are, you know, truly invested. You know, the people
Sure.
who I, you know, would consider, you know, mutuals on the platforms and whatever. But yeah, no, I still do my best. I still, you know, lay in bed for an hour and try and get to every single person who replies to, you know, something silly that I, because it's all, you know, sometimes it is just silly internet videos and you can't take it too seriously, right?
No, and the other thing that like I want to kind of circle back to what you said earlier about you can just post you don't just post videos of you shredding, you know what I mean? Because that market is so oversaturated. It's been oversaturated with people just online. And you can look up, I mean, you can type literally any platform and just type in shred guitar and you could scroll forever on that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong.
Endless.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Everyone that I see on there, extremely talented
So much
musicians,
talent.
you
So much
know?
talent.
But at the same time, it's like if you're going to be producing stuff like that, why do I care? What are you doing to give me something to care about you playing? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there has to be something more than you just playing. It's kind of like so I'm in Nashville or the Nashville area, right?
That's awesome.
You have guys down here that like, you know, we talk about like kind of breaking into like that open jam, that gigging scene and whatnot. And it's so funny to me because I've had conversations with individuals, not very many, but being good at your instrument is the baseline.
Nailed it.
That's the baseline. If you're not good at your instrument, you still have work to do within yourself just to get up to that certain level. And I'm not trying to say there's like a definite cutoff of what you need to be at, but it's the same thing with social media content, man. Like being a good musician, if you're that's the kind of creative aspect you're doing, or if you're an artist or if you're a graphic designer, whatever it is, like being talented is the baseline. You know,
Yep.
you have to be able to provide something more than just, hey, I'm really good at this thing. You know, which I think like you did, like even though you say you kind of stole some stuff from Fluff or whatever, that's a great way to interact with your community. It's a great way to have honest and consistent content as well. You know what I
Right.
mean?
Well, I mean, and exactly like that's what it was. And for finding this like correct balance of different ways of content, right? Like as much as I, stole from Fluff, I was really just trying to bring his algorithm to a new platform because he wasn't on TikTok for years and years and years, right? So for me, it was just like I used to have these, regiment schedules where like on a, out of a 7 day week, on day one I would post a raid and roast. On day two I would, do like a shredding video. On day three, I would teach something, stuff like that. But I still remember always on like one of the days I'd be like, and it would just be a section called like just try something new, like just experiment, just have fun, try and figure out something that you haven't done before. And that's really where it is. I still do feel the pressures as a content creator to, still only just follow algorithms or try and do what's popular. And and I see these amazing, and I still do see these amazing shred videos of people who are amazing players, and then it has like, 200,000 likes, and you're just like, I can play like that. Why can't I get that kind of like? But it's not necessarily like comparing yourself to others, and that's the biggest thing. It's what works for you and your platform, and who you connect with on what content.
Yeah, for sure. And so here's the thing that I had a piece of advice from a friend of mine because I fell into that trap where I was consuming more content than I was creating for probably about the last probably 3 months. You know what I mean? And I was wondering why I was stuck in a rut. It's like, well, you're not freaking doing anything, dude. Why would you expect anything less? You know? So that's one of the things, and that's like you said too. It's super easy to just get in that doom scroll mode and just keep going and keep going and keep going. But then it's also if you're in that creative field and you're trying to kind of break through, like you said, that comparison, that thief of joy, man, is just always, you know, sitting right there with like, dude, I can totally play exactly what that guy's playing, you know. But if I post the same video, like you can't think like that.
No,
You cannot think like
man.
that. So, the best part about social media for me is the people you get to meet. And the people and companies and whatnot, especially in the guitar space that you get to interact with. So you said you were posting like crazy when you first got on TikTok. When did you kind of start to see that kind of community, not just of like, I don't like brands, of course, too, but like people as well, where you kind of started to see like stuff coming together on the platform itself?
Probably like my second year, probably like 2021, 2022. It was like I was nice and consistent. That's also like I said, I was posting like 3 times a day, and I was going live every night too. Like I was basically living on the platform, sometimes in an unhealthy way. Sometimes a dedication. As artists, I always say it, right? It's just like sometimes we live in extremes, and it's about the, balance of extremes, not just balance. But anyways, I was posting a lot, and the live interaction of I had a community of people who had just kept coming back. Like the people that I started doing that with are still like I'll say my biggest people in my community still today, because of that genuine engagement. Because I'd always be trying to be like, how can I make this person's day? How can I engage with them? How can I make content that is fun for me and that gives value to other people? And just what you said, the biggest value is the people that you meet. There are so many opportunities that I've gathered from this content platform that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. My first really big collaborator that took a chance on me was this awesome guitarist by the name of Thomas Polychuk. Phenomenal guitarist from Montreal. He had a feature of one of my solos on one of his songs one time. I went down to where he was. We shot a music video, and just a really, really nice guy who took a chance on, like, I was a smaller creator at that point, and like he had no business, but he took a chance on me and really was kind of a almost a guru to me in some of the social media aspects and just stuff about guitar. And he was a great guy, great energy and a hardworking person, always surrounding yourself with the people that you want to have the same work ethic with, right?
Absolutely.
And then it all just spiraled from there. I met more and more great people, and it's really at the end of the day, that's why I keep saying people ask me questions about, I know, sponsorships and endorsements. It's just good people working with good people. That's all it is. Stay consistent, work hard, and build genuine connections with good people. That's the secret. There is no That's it.
Dude, I cannot tell you, man. So I've had a lot of people, I've had a lot of companies on the podcast, not just individuals as well, and talking to these guys. And it's so funny because, after the, recording's done and you sit and talk for a little bit. And, that's one of the things. One of my favorite people I ever had was a guy named Alex Auchscher that he is an artist rep for String Joy, Victory Amps, Warehouse Speaker, a few others. But that was the funniest thing because we kind of talked about that of like the spammy DMs from creators or just people in general that are trying to just get free gear. It's like, dude, if you're messaging a company just to kind of leverage to get free stuff, they're going to see right through you, man, and they're not going to want to work with you. Like you said, a genuine connection, where everybody is having a good time, but don't there's no problem, and I don't want to say it like there's a problem like if you reach out to gear companies. Like if you truly love a company, yeah, reach out, but just don't be like, hey, give me free stuff. They're gonna tell you to hit the road, man. You know what I mean?
There's a certain attitude to going about it. And if you are gonna cold, you have to genuinely love their product. Like
Absolutely.
I had been using Ernie Ball for years and years and years, until they reached out to me, right? And like it's the same thing. Like I think I did actually message a company the other day. I'm not gonna say which company, but I had been using their product for probably 4 years, and I was like, hey, and it's always just about seeing what I can offer them. I check their social media, and I'm like, there's a lot of growth that I can contribute to them. I was like, hey, I've been using this product. If you guys would like to work together, that's great. But also, if not, just have a great day. I love your product. Like it's that is simple. Like I'm not gonna go home and cry if I don't get an email response. If you cold or call someone like that, then I just really don't expect anything. And that's the end of the day. I don't expect any of this stuff. Like it's a complete honor to work with these businesses. Obviously it's like I said, it's very mutual. It's very like I got you go, it's a give and take, it's always a mutual relationship,
For sure. And what you just said was something really important, right? I can provide this for you. I love your product and I can provide this for you. Because at the end of the day, they are still a business. They are in the business of selling said product and getting those products in people's hands. And if you can help that, then you're an asset to that company. And on top of that, you've shown consistency across the years of this is, I love X, I love this. I use this. I can help you do this. And that's the thing. It's like you have to give the company, it's the same thing like we talked about with the audience. You have to provide some sort of value to get that in like initial investment or that leap of faith into you as a content creator or as an artist, whatever it is you're doing, you have to have something there. You know what I mean? And I hate to sound like a broken record, but being good is once again just the baseline. You know what I mean?
It's the bare minimum, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. And it also depends on like if you want to be taken, like I don't know, like seriously. But I mean, there's a part of that that's very, very true. And I think that's if you're in the realm of sorry, being a musician, right? If you want to be something good, you have to be very dedicated to your instrument. I'm not saying you have to play like you're John Petrucci, because obviously, if you're, you know, a Nashville session musician, you're going to be playing very different and having a different set of skills, right? But for me, I often always say, if I broke both my hands tomorrow, I would still be a guitar
Yeah.
influencer. I wouldn't stop. I would be, even if I could just play open strummed chords, you know, it's like there is that definite consensus as well online that there's, you know, the certain stereotype of performer where they're, you know, playing. I'm not gonna play the rest of the riff, but
I got
you
you.
know.
I got yeah. Well, speaking of playing riffs, let's talk about that guitar you have.
I am honored to. This guitar is a Void Series Zeru guitar by this wonderful company. The CEO, who's an awesome guy named CJ, shout out to CJ, started this company pretty recently, actually.
Yeah.
He owned a store called Impulse Music Co. And then he had left it to go on to different ventures, and this being one of them. It's a genuinely amazing product, and I am so lucky to have met CJ. And people ask, you know, the biggest question, if you go to NAMM, is NAMM worth going, right? My first NAMM that I went to was in 2023, and that was still what a lot of people considered like a half NAMM, because it was still like kind
Sure.
of pumping up after COVID. But yeah, Ernie Ball brought me out, and you know, I had a great time. But CJ had been following me on TikTok for like probably a couple months, and you know, I see his content. I'm like, oh, I like his guitar store videos, and you know, every now and then he comments on something. I literally just bumped into him at NAMM, and he had like the first prototype of the standard Zeru guitar on his back, and
That's
he was just
cool.
walking
Yeah.
around, and I was just like, and he was like, yo, I got to show you something. I'm like, oh, I'm like, wow, this is sick. And I was just like, yeah, if you ever want to work together, just hit me up. This is a cool guitar. I'm just trying to get into this headless market at that point. And then literally, I kid you not, a couple of weeks later, he's like, hey man, you want a signature? And I'm like, is the sky blue?
Right.
Like,
Yeah, I don't think I need to answer that question, but yes, the answer is yes.
yes, the
Yes.
answer is yes. So it was a very, very cool process, and definitely a dream come true. I've definitely thanked CJ so many times on a regular basis. But yeah, no, this guitar is beautiful. The scorched scarlet red. We got Seymour Duncan pickups. We got this cool little Seymour Duncan hyper switch thing going on. And the thing that's amazing about it is definitely the price point, and the quality of it, considering of other headless models on the market that are very, very overpriced for coming out of the same exact factory.
Dude, I was gonna say I was perusing their social media and their website last night, and that was one of the things that I was just like, dude, this is a no-brainer. Like, I'm not trying to like shill for it or
Thank
anything,
you.
like, but
No, thank you.
I'm just saying, like, dude, at least from the product videos that I've seen, everything they put out online is super. It's genuine. It's honest. Everything I've seen, every one of those guitars is just great. You know what I mean? Especially for the
Thank you
price
very much.
point. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yep. And that was the biggest thing. And at the end of the day, like I said, especially when you're a content creator, it's always about the people, you
Yeah.
know. I love this guitar, it's such a great product, but CJ, knowing that an amazing CEO is behind the company,
Yep.
caring about their product, caring about their customers, and really caring about their artists is really cool. And I'm so honored to start my growth journey in this new era with this new company, Zero. And I'm so excited to grow together over the next you know, couple years. Yeah, we're speaking of this guitar. Speaking of growth, we are giving away one of these guitars. Actually, not one of these guitars, this exact guitar I'm holding
Oh,
right now.
nice.
This is the first prototype six string. I will be signing this one specifically because the production models have my signature like stamped onto
Stamped,
it,
yeah.
but this one I'm actually going to be signing. I've literally recorded a couple songs with this, so people are going to be winning something very, very cool out of my personal collection. And 365 guitar picks. It's a crazy giveaway.
Dude,
It's
that is
insane.
awesome. 'Cause I
Yeah.
so that's the thing. Like I saw that giveaway pop up on all the socials from where I follow you at. And that was one of the coolest things. It's just like, and granted, it's 2024. You've been really hitting it hard for what, 5 years now,
Yeah.
five-ish,
Yeah.
And see, this is the kind of stuff. And once it happens, it happens. It seems like it happens really quickly. You know what I
You
mean?
said it. You've been watching it. Yep.
Yeah. But it's awesome, dude, because like stuff like that, it's a dream come true, especially when you're working with good people, man. And all that was it. That's what I try to explain to people. All it was somebody following you, kind of talking back and forth, having an opportunity after you get to a certain point to go to an awesome show such as NAMM, and then happening to bumping in. That's how that all happened. It wasn't like a, please let me get a signature guitar from you, please. You know what I mean?
I feel so bad for CJ because every other day some there's you do get those comments and I'm like, oh man, like you don't know how bad you're making yourself sound by asking. Like it, I guess there's like a there's definitely a like a childlike innocence to that. It's like, are they joking? Are they serious? But it's just like you never want to ask someone for that because it comes off very, very one-sidedly.
Very,
Like
yeah.
what, like why, like why? I don't even know. But to answer that question, yes, NAMM is worth going to, because of that person-to-person interaction. You
For
know,
sure.
like I may maybe me and CJ never would have connected in that same way. You know, because everyone is different online.
Absolutely, yeah.
And even this on the podcast, you know, it's a different way to connect to see how people like really are. I mean, I think as part of being an artist and a social media person is like is always being as authentic as possible, but also it's the internet. So I just try and like not exaggerate it, but amplify what's already there to
For
convey
sure.
in this, you know, 20-second video, you know.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I like a variety of content to put out. I do love the short form content because it's fun to make. You can be goofy, you can be serious. Like I said, there's a lot of, especially where I'm at, there's a lot of rice to throw at the wall. It's not that big of a deal. But the long form stuff for the people that do enjoy that, like you said, it's just another little peek behind the curtain. We're kind of peeling back the layers a little bit of somebody that you might really enjoy watching online or following on whatever platform. And now you'd get a little bit more of a backstage pass, so to speak, with some long form content such as this, And honestly, dude, for me, the story of how things happened are so much more interesting than just watching reels or, TikToks all day. You know what I mean? So, but speaking of which, TikTok has been super awesome selfishly for me because I've met a lot of people that also happen to be kind of in your same little friend group as well. I've gotten to talk to Lindy Day, I've gotten to talk to Jordan.wave,
That's
and
awesome.
it's people that, once again, like you said earlier, people I have no business talking to. It was just a quick DM, like, hey, if you got some time, I'd really like to talk to you if you have the, if you're interested or available. That's usually how I try to phrase it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that, now it's easy to do. It's not hard. As long as, I've had a handful, I'm not gonna lie, there's been a handful of guests that I've kind of been like, ooh, this might have been a mistake after some of the little deeper conversation gets in here. You know what I mean? It's just, I
It
don't know if you
happens.
can say that, but anyway,
Right.
we're not gonna get into all that. But
I
speaking
get
of
it.
Jordan, let's talk about what you and Jordan got together and did.
Yes, please. Yeah, we released a song about, let's say, a week, maybe a week and a half ago called The Lesson. Me and Jordan have been friends for a bit now. Oh my, I can't even, probably maybe like 3 years. I hope it's not that long because time is passing way too fast. Oh my. But yeah, I will always selfishly say that Jordan followed me before he became Mr. Famous Jordan Wave. I very, very selfish with that because I love him to death. But yeah, no, very, very Papa for doing some awesome stuff, and he deserves all the goodness in the world. But yeah, we had been friends and collaborators for a long, long time, and you know, I for me, it was always like, if you have a good group of collaborators, it's always just like, you know, like collaborating for the sake of collaboration is cool, but I wanted to save something very, very cool to collaborate with Jordan. And I'd been releasing lots of different songs with, you know, different artists. You know, I did a song with Nick Johnson, the song Prior, which released about a year ago now. But I was just like, I gotta wait for something really, really cool. And so I had this concept, this little idea of a song to just do like a guitar battle-esque, because it's very, you know, guitarists, and we're, you know,
For
guitarists. And
sure,
I was
for sure.
like let's do something that kind of bass. And I was like influenced by you know, the Devil Went Down to Georgia, specifically the Nickelback version, because they have that guitar solo shred variation, and the Duel by Metalocalypse, if you know that one. Yeah, some great guitar dueling. And I was like, I want to do something like that, but less of a like aggressive, like we're battling each other. I want to do something where like we're comrades or something. So I thought it would be funny if we did something like one of us is teaching one of us, not that it matters who's teaching who. So we just came up with that concept, and you know, I did a lot of the writing, and yeah, we just had a great time writing this back and forth, and then met up to do a fun little music video, which is just really cool, which Jordan got, yeah, endorsed by Zero a couple weeks before, actually. So we were both able to show off some Zero stuff, which was awesome. But yeah, no, great time. Yeah.
That's super rad, man. Especially like when you start to have friends in the community that start to kind of come up with you. You know what I mean? And it sounds like you and him just were pretty much together that whole journey, you know, like you said, as far as coming up in the social media space, so to speak.
As especially, it was definitely the same like time frame, you know, as far as you know, like COVID, you know, gave us so much extra time, and these hardworking people, you know, I'm so grateful for the people that I know in my life, and you know, for these amazing people that I can consider you know, peers, but also like friends, you know. It's a very, very cool thing, and it can happen for anyone, you know.
Oh,
It can
dude.
happen for anyone.
Well, and it's for me, it's more of the mindset of the individual more so than anything else. You know what I mean? It's what are you trying to achieve? And it's let's okay. It's like so, if we're gonna say something as broad and general as I want to be as good at guitar as X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean that's not a horrible goal to have, but well, now what are we going to do to achieve it? You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
there's you can't just say it. Is there? I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm not, you know, the manifestation thing. I think if you believe something's going to happen, but the execution of what you need to do is what's getting the job done. You know what I mean?
Manifestation is like maybe less than half of it. It's like
Yeah.
manifestation is the whole, is part of like what you consider the mindset. You know what I
Absolutely.
mean? It's
Yeah.
like,
Well, like we were talking about earlier, that manifestation is going to give you that passion. That passion is going to give you that determination, and that determination is going to give you that discipline. And
exactly. And that's, I didn't actually get to answer, or I don't even know if it was a question, but I definitely comment that I had onto it. And it's something I'm actually very passionate to talk about. Speaking of passionate, this makes sense. But the people ask me, is like, how do you play guitar so crazy? What do I do? And I'm like, people rely on motivation, and motivation is what I say, a finite resource. Some days you'll have it, some days you won't have it. And like I said, the passion, you don't play guitar from the passion. You play guitar derivative from the passion, as far as the power to move you to discipline yourself. If you're passionate about yourself, you'll be able to teach yourself a regimen to be able to get that discipline. I'm passionate about this thing, so I have the want to be able to do this every day. Like, not, and I'm like, obviously there's days that I don't want to do it, but if I'm training myself to be able to do it, you know, 6 days out of the week, and it's the seventh day, I'm like, oh, I just got to pick up the guitar for, you know, 10 minutes. And it's not always been like that for me. For me, it's always just like, I always want to play guitar, and I feel weird if I don't every day. But yeah, passion. So motivation is a motivation is like a nice bonus. Motivation is not a resource you can depend on, and that's what I tell people.
Dude, for sure. That's what I've have so
I teach at a local shop here. Excuse me. And that was one of the things that I was telling one of my students the other day was just like, look, man, because he asked me the same question. It's like, well, how do I'm not really seeing any headway. And the first question that I asked him was, what kind of music are you listening to right now? And how much are you picking up the instrument?
Right.
Because those two factors in my mind are going to dictate really your level that you kind of upscale with that instrument. And he's like, oh,
True.
Ian, every once in a while, man, you know, like probably like once or twice a week. And he's like, well, what about you? And I was like, dude, I pick it up every day. And I don't necessarily do something productive with the instrument every day in a, I guess a lesson or regiment speak, but I play the instrument every single day. And like you said, dude, I feel so weird if I go a day without it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, what did I do with my life today? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't do anything, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's one of the biggest things that I've told, you know, students and other people that are trying to, it's the same, but it's the same thing like you were talking about too, with that, with any creative endeavor.
Yeah.
You
And it's
shouldn't,
always about what you want, right? Like what you want to get out of it.
Well, you shouldn't feel obligated. There shouldn't be like this obligation of like, oh man, I got to pick up my guitar today. You know, I listened to this podcast and this guy told me I need to pick up my guitar every day. And now, oh, I guess I'm going to do it. It's like, dude, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But it shouldn't feel like you have to, you know, I want to. I
Exactly.
can't wait till I get off work and get home and I can, you know, hang out with the family for a little bit and then play guitar. You know,
You said it,
that.
brother. When I'm teaching guitar, I'm like, I can't wait to get home and play more guitar. Like I can't wait to practice stuff that I want. And I gotta be honest, sometimes I'm bad for that. For those of my fans who don't know, I am like a guitar teacher and I do that like, the 7 hours a day during the week. It's like I sometimes parents ask me like, can you tell my kid to practice? And I'm like, well, first of all, my job stops when you leave the door. And two, I want to make them the best guitarists they can be for their life. If they don't want to play like John Petrucci, I'm not going to tell them to practice 4 hours a day. If they're only playing 2 or 3 times a week, I'm going to figure out how to make them the best for playing 2, 3 hours a week. If they have different goals, if they want to become like XYZ guitar player, whatever, then I'll give them the tools to be able to achieve that. And then I'll be like, hey, this is what you got to do. And I'll give them nice reminders. But, like as when you're working, it's always about making the best of their capabilities because everyone is different, right?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, and that's one of the things that I've tried to talk to. I've had the same kind of conversations with parents or, you know, whoever is dropping off the child. Because there are a few that I have that are very young. I'm talking like the 8, 9 year old range, you know. And it's funny because that's what I've tried to explain to them. It's like just even like the fine motor skills in their fingers aren't like totally developed yet.
No,
So
they're not really,
it's they're still a child. So like, and it was so funny because it's funny you say that because I just had a conversation with a parent yesterday. She was asking me about how her son's doing. And I said, he's doing very well for his age. He is doing super well. But, and she said, well, I just feel like he's not practicing. He always has his guitar, but I don't feel like he's practicing. I was like, that is amazing. If he always has his guitar with him and he's making some sort of noise with the guitar in his hand, that's what we want. Like, I can teach
Nailed
the
it.
other stuff later. You know, like you said, if he develops a skill set where he wants to be like, I want to get here now. Okay, it's too easy for me to sit down with you for 30 minutes and be like, hey, this is how you kind of navigate X, Y, and Z. But now he's, like you said, he's going to go home after that 30-minute lesson and immediately continue playing guitar because that passion's already there. You know? So I don't know.
You
It's
nailed it.
super rad. But let's kind of wrap up a little bit, but before we do that, where what's kind of the plan going forward, maybe for the next year with you?
It's a great question. Definitely, hopefully releasing more music
For
is
sure.
definitely the goal. I have some cool stuff. As most of the independent artists, they say big things coming, but
Yeah,
honestly,
absolutely.
it's definitely promoting the stuff that I have been releasing, which is the new guitar and the lesson with Jordan. Those are the big ones. As far as other things, more just collaborating with good people. It's funny because you're like, I was like, what are your plans for for the future, I'm like, man, for over the next year, I don't really know. I think I'm honestly just excited for next NAMM and how fun it will be, connect just more connecting with amazing people like yourself. Again, thank you so much for having me. This has been really,
Oh
really
yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Oh dude, I mean, I appreciate you taking the time, man. It's like you were talking about earlier, man. Just a simple conversation and a DM, like, hey, if you have the availability. If not, it's totally fine, because I understand in this world of content creating, you're under a very, rigid, I don't want to say rigid, but you have a lot to do. You know what I mean? And for people to take that kind of time, like taking an hour out of some of these creative people's day is that's a pretty significant chunk of time that they could have been doing something, much more productive than just talking to me. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I think from your perspective, that's just you valuing creators in
Sure.
a sense. From my perspective, I'm honored just to be able like to be asked and participate, because I'm very much a, I don't say yes man, but I love to contribute as much as I can to the conversation. And if I have a platform to discuss that sort of thing, like this, I think music is so powerful, it can move people, but there's also so much you can do with it. Like in this scenario, I'm connecting with you, and hopefully whoever is listening, they get to connect with both of us more. Yeah, that and that's and that and that's really that really gets me excited.
Absolutely.
So
Well, before we wrap this up, where can everybody find you at? We'll have all those links down below as well. That way, if you want to check out any of the awesome stuff that Justice is up to, you can just go right down to the show notes and check out everything. It'll be linked down below, and you can check out everything. So, where can everybody find you at?
you can find me at Justice Hages at whatever social media, JustusHajas, and you can find the giveaway at zeroguitars.com.
Awesome. Well, I will have a link to the lesson as well down there, so you guys should definitely
Thank
check
you.
that video out as well. But yeah, dude, once again, thanks for coming on and taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Absolutely. All right. For Justice, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, and we will check you guys next week on Man the Helm Podcast.